Thank you, Mr. Westholler. Thank you very much. Well, I hate to interrupt social hour. Everybody's just having a wonderful time. My God, I'll take this kind of weather all winter. This is my winter weather. And my granddaughter, she wants it cold and snow so she gets out of school. And I said, no. And okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly, where we can come together and worship you as we're led by your Spirit and your Word. And we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you and to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, Brian, what are we going to sing? Let's talk about prayer, and I think I can get this thing back in there. There we go. Let's see. Any? First of all, how's Thomas? How you doing? He's here. How you doing, Thomas? Good. Everything? All your tests doing all right? Yes. Yeah. I wasn't getting personal about your school test. Oh, when you're in school, that's a very dangerous subject to talk about, test grades. And you only do it with those who have to know, and preferably not them. And all right, any other prayer requests that we need to be made aware of? Yes, sir. Good. Wow. Wow. He's not eating? Not even Bluebell ice cream? Wow, this is really bad. We'll be in prayer. Give us this warrior's name. Huh? Dennis? Okay. Let's be in prayer for Dennis, people. He served our country. Let's hope that he, before he checks out, understands that Jesus Christ is his Savior and believes that. Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. How's everything going at the Cigar Church? Good. Wow. Let's see, in March, John's going to be here, so I have to get with the date and see if it's going to be a weekend. He's hoping so much that it's going to be because he wants to come. And so that'll be good. That gets to work out that particular weekend. And speaking of John, Judy went into the hospital this week and had a stent. They had to put a stent in. They didn't know they'd have to. Got an angiogram, and they had to do a stent. So please be in prayer for Judy Hintz. And John has a major shoulder replacement, but he'll be here before then. That'll take place after he leaves here for the pastor's conference in March. So please be in prayer for John as he gets ready for the surgery and all. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
On the youth group front.
Good. Okay.
So pray for the teaching, preparation, all the things that go along with the slam camp.
Good.
The young people come out of course.
Same place.
It's going to be in Brookhaven.
Okay.
Changing up a little bit this year.
Yeah.
So I hope if it's three, that the right three show up, and if it's 70, that we figure out what to do with 70. That's the prayer.
All right.
The other part of that is I don't even know. But it's good. Let's pray for the young people.
Okay. How many are you planning on coming?
In the neighborhood of 30.
30? Okay, very good. People, we hear a lot going on about the young people today. Addictions, all the problems, rebellion. It's your opportunity to be in prayer. And maybe you don't go to slam camp and do anything, but you can be a powerful force of that in your prayer life. So let's be in prayer for the young people. The Holy Spirit will move those that he wants to be there, that the Holy Spirit will start convicting them now, that they will go work with the teachers, and as Phil, you're going to teach them, be in prayer for Phil, that the Holy Spirit will lead him. And I mean this, people. I'm in almost daily, but it definitely weekly prayer, what we're going to cover when we finish 2 Thessalonians. This is very important to me. It's very important to Phil, that he teaches what God would have him to teach that these young people need to hear. So please be in prayer for the leading ministry of the Spirit with Phil and what these young people are going to need. Be in prayer for Chris. Be in prayer for all of the adults that will be there. This is an important week, so please be in prayer for it. All right, yes, your fan. Yeah, I'm a little surprised. He told me he's going to be here, so I don't know. I kidded him. He wasn't here. 1 week he was gone, and I think it was last week he said he was going to be here, and he wasn't here. So I called him up, and I said, there's a big church where he goes. And I said, so I guess Chuck Swindoll had a healing, he had a heart problem, had a healing service Sunday morning. That's where you went. He laughed, and he said, Herman, I have never, ever been to a church where I saw better healing than I saw at your church when you were laying on the floor. There is no healing church I would ever go to but that one. So let's be in prayer for Brian and his ticker, and hopefully that's not the problem going on. Okay, any other prayer requests? Yes. Good. All right. Well, what you want to do is talk to Leslie. She'll tell you all about hyperthyroid and low thyroid and all the thyroid. And that's what she's learning in school. And she'll give you the, and she's been doing it for years, but she'll be able to give you some good information. All right. Any other prayer requests? All right. Yes. Does he recognize you? In and out. Yeah. That's good stuff. Well, we'll be in prayer. Thank you for sharing that with us. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Please be in prayer for Judah's family. And let's go into the offertory. And even though we're a small group, it still costs money to keep everything running. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. Gracious giver is defined as one who personally believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be led of the Spirit by faith. It's the Holy Spirit who guides us what to do with our time and our money. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. And we pray that in this year, an important year in the history of America, that you will use this assembly, the outreach of the teaching of the Word of God and the gospel to both believers and unbelievers. Our internet, our young people, missionaries, and right here in our own home. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, does everyone have a Be Strengthened handout? Anyone not have it? Anyone not have? Brian, would you get the preacher's wife one, please? I guess I figure if she gets tired of hearing me at home, she didn't want to hear it anymore. So, thank you. Anyone else not have a copy? Be strengthened. All right. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Very important prayer. Test yourself to see if you're trusting the Spirit, for He is the true teacher of the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the passages that deal with our daily life, that guide us and strengthen us in living each day in the time in the world we live. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and understand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're almost through with the book. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. Pray for us that the word of God will spread. Verse 2, and pray that we may be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. I hope that every one of you have a significant prayer life. And I challenge you that for the remainder of this year, that almost daily you pray in regard to our nation and the upcoming election in November. I pray that you do this, and not just the same prayer. Let him know you understand things that are going on. And I'm not going to say who you should pray for or against. You're going to be like David. But you should pray daily what's happening in America. And prayer is powerful. And I believe in power of prayer. And but you should pray, like you could pick out, just for example, the military. Pray that God will give us a leader who understands the importance of the military and how the military works, economics, morality, justice, on and on and on, and different things. If you have someone in mind, pray for them. And I do encourage you, I do not know how many are or are not born-again believers. I do happen to know that Ted Cruz is definitely a believer in Jesus Christ as Savior. His father spoke at Robert Dean's church in Houston, and he is under unbelievable attack. And I'm not surprised. I see him as one with the Bible in one hand and the Constitution in the other, and he understands them both. And he studies them both. And whether you want him as president or not, just pray for him, for protection, because he is getting unbelievable attacks that really are undeserving, but he's getting them, and I'm not surprised. We'll see that this morning in our study. But pray for all of the men and ladies, and just pray for our nation at this time in its history. Now we move to verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, and we studied here the faithfulness of God. He will strengthen you. Now, reports are there are two epidemics going on in America that whoever is elected president is going to have to address. They're already talking about up to $10 billion for these two problems. Epidemics and so emotional and mental health on an unbelievable scale in America. Millions of people in America, especially in the young, are suffering from addiction and mental and emotional problems of stress. Why not? This should not surprise any of us. You take the Bible away from the young people. You take prayer away from the young people. And schools, churches, homes, hospital care. Obviously, you're going to greatly increase the number of people who have mental and emotional problems. You've taken away the only solution. They have no source of mental and emotional strength. Take prayer away from young people, and from our children, don't be surprised as more and more of them become mentally and emotionally deprived. You've taken away their only hope. You take moral standards. The soul, the minds of young people become heavy laden, stressed, confused, lost. People, even if no one tells you, you know this is immoral. Your soul, you don't know how you know it, but you know this is not right. And so you're dealing with problems with that. And our society comes along and says, no, there's no problem. That's not immoral. That's not wrong. Premarital sex is fine. Homosexuality is fine. Rebellion against authority is fine. All these kinds of things. And yet we want to spend billions to take care of the mental and emotional disruption. People, immorality puts a heavy burden, a heavy stress on the soul. Why? Because they know it's wrong. Yet no one is telling them it is wrong. And they do not want to listen to anyone who does tell them the truth. You cannot imagine. Think about this. Well, going to church just two or three times a week does to a person's mental and emotional stability. Just to go somewhere unrelated to school, unrelated to all your problems, and just settle down. Listen to the solution. Know that there is hope. Maybe an hour, 2 hours, whatever your church has. It's unbelievable what that can do to your soul. How it gives you peace in your soul. But we're taking church away from our young people. Many of them don't even go to church, and they're encouraged not to go to church. But just going to church two or three times a week, what it can do to the soul. To sing praise to God, to be aware of God, and then hopefully Jesus Christ. And do I dare ask for the Holy Spirit? But it just does an unbelievable to the soul. Billions are spent on these personal problems. It will do nothing more than increase the problems in America. You take $10 billion, what will it do? It'll increase the problem. Why? Because what these billions will be spent on will not cure, nor will it give to these young people what they need, mental and emotional strength. Why is addiction becoming an epidemic? Because for the past few decades, our government has been taking away the Bible and discouraging church, and in its place, giving drugs to our children to cope with life. You're too hyper. You're too this. You're too that. You need this drug. You need that drug. To the point they're now addicted. And what is the government solution as they get older? More drugs! Stronger drugs! To give strength to these now young adults. And what is the church giving? Psychoheresy. Multitude of big churches, and I can confirm this historically, in America, have trained psychologists on their staff. Not trained in the Bible, but trained in human psychology. And statistics show what many churches that cannot afford to have a psychologist on their staff recommend one to troubled parents and troubled adults. Troubled parents of troubled children. And what is recommended for these children and adults? More drugs. Not the Bible. Not the peace of the Word of God. Not that which really gives strength, peace, joy, comfort to the soul. Here's the Spirit filled Paul, 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful and will strengthen you. And guess what? It's free. It ain't going to cost $10 billion. And why all of a sudden is it up that high? Because for the past decades, we've taken the Bible out. We've taken church out. We've taken Christ out. We've taken all these things that give joy and strength. Taken Christ out of Christmas. Now all of Christmas is I didn't get what I wanted. I got what I wanted. Did I give enough? I got to give more. All the stress without Christ. And this is free. Absolutely free. Okay, the Lord is faithful and will strengthen you. Okay, strengthen what? Certainly not your physical muscles. You got to go to the gym for that. The Greek word comes from the root to stand. It means to set fast, to fix firmly, establish, confirm, strengthen. It's a future active indicative. What does this future refer? The future tense refers to any time any one of these believers in Thessalonica starts walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, depending on the Holy Spirit by faith, then the Spirit of the Lord will begin to strengthen the inner makeup of that believer, and it's free. It's free. The Lord, our Lord, your Lord, has the perfect solution to emotional and mental health. You trusted Him for your eternal salvation. Now trust Him with your daily life's problems. One of the strongest uses of this verb is by our Lord Himself in talking to Peter. Peter recovers from cursing while denying that he even knew Jesus the Nazarene. Think about that. Peter, one of the young ones, teenager, walked with the Lord, listened to the Lord, taught of the Lord, is in profanity denying he even knows the Lord and looks at him straight in the face. And the Lord looks at him and he walks away crying. So Luke chapter 22, verse 32, here's the Lord's response. You dirty, rotten rat, you've forsaken me? No. But I have prayed for you. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus Christ prayed for Peter that your faith may not be failed. They may not fail. That means the Greek means be totally eclipsed. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Several things going on here. First of all, why does the Lord say these words to Peter? Because of the 11, this Peter will know how emotionally and mentally believers can be hurt because he just went through a horrible time in his denials. This man, Peter, he understands. He's probably maybe 18 when Christ said this to him. 18, 19, he's just a teenager. All his disciples, most all of them were. And they were just teenagers. And he understands what it's like, the hurt, the pain, the stress on his soul, on his mind, on his heart. So he understands the emotional problems that can come, because he's just suffered the extreme. He denied him while looking at him. He denied him vehemently. Secondly, believers will have tests and failures in their lives where their souls, their minds, their hearts will need to be strengthened. You do. I do. We all do. Your children do. Your husband does. Your wife does. And Peter, who will have their own mind and soul and heart strengthened, will be able, had his own mind, his own, will be able to help others, guide others to strengthen their souls and their minds in life's turmoil. I doubt any of them will ever reach the point that Peter did. They might deny him, but it won't be while looking at him. It won't be while he's under trial and you denied him, walked away from him. They'll never be tested like Peter. He knows what this hurts like. And yet he's going to be able to recover. There are believers, we don't want Peter. Peter denied the Lord. We don't want him. The Lord says, I want you to strengthen other believers. I want you to do that. And it will not be by drugs or by human viewpoint. Nope. It will be by turning them back to faith, to trusting God, trusting the Word of God, trusting the Holy Spirit, trusting the faithfulness of our Lord, that they also may turn again and continue in their Christ-like life. Quit judging. Start helping. Quit judging. Start strengthening. That's what you do. Don't judge if you have an intimate relationship or friendship with someone and they failed. Sinned, don't go judge them. If they will listen, now a lot of them won't, that's their business. But if they will listen, talk about strengthening in the Lord. Return to the Lord. That's what Peter did. Every one of you have everything necessary to help people with emotional and mental problems. Every one of you. You have the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that there are not people, a few people, who will need some type of drugs to relax them so that they can walk by faith. I'm not denying that. I'm not arrogantly stupid here. But that's not as many as that are doing it today. Not by a long shot. Another important passage. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. For I, Paul, long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you. That is, some spiritual grace, benefit to them. Why? That you may be established, that's our word, strengthened, that you may be spiritually strengthened. Now, it may not be by his teaching. It may be by his teaching. Sound doctrine on pertinent issues they need to know. It may be by encouraging them, even rebuking some of them. But these believers need so much to be strengthened in their soul. We spend so much money, so much time in strengthening the body. We want our little girls and our little guys to feel handsome and beautiful and all this money for your beauty and your clothes and all. And we forget about the soul. The soul is what needs to be strengthened. The soul is what needs to be strengthened in the Lord. So many in America are in need of emotional and mental strengthening. This one is in the first chapter of Romans. I want you to look at the last chapter of Romans. The last chapter, Romans 16, 25. Now to him who is able to establish you. This is our word. That word establish is strengthen you. Strengthen you spiritually. According to my gospel and the preaching of Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past. I want you to know three categories of doctrine that will help to stable and strengthen a person's soul. If they're unbelievers, the gospel. It is amazing how the assurance after death calms so many pains and stresses of people, even children. Both those dying and those living. The ones that are dying and their friends that are living. To know the gospel. Okay, there's a peace. I hope everyone in this room has that peace about death. I hope death does not put stress on your mind and your soul, mental or spiritual. There's a calmness. We're not home here. When a believer dies, they're going home. What's bad about that? Well, you haven't seen my home. No, don't do that. Let's talk about this in truth. Home. We're going to go home. There's a wonderful peace about going home. And that's what the gospel does. It strengthens in respect to so many fears. And what are these young people and even olders giving today? There is no hell to fear. Everyone's going to heaven, all this kind of stuff. They know better. In their soul, they know there's a God. Romans chapter 1. They're not buying it. And the soul is heavy laden. So if you desire to hopefully, not always you will, but hopefully strengthen the soul of an unbeliever, speak to them of the gracious gospel of Jesus Christ. Hopefully, because their being strengthened depends on whether or not they believe the gospel, but you can certainly go into prayer, hopefully. Second category of doctrine that Paul mentions, preaching of Jesus Christ. Preaching of Jesus Christ. We studied this last Wednesday night, January 27th on the internet, in our study of Isaiah 53. How just knowing him as your friend does so much to the stability of your life. To know him, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's my Savior. And if he bore that for me, that's strength to us. You have to listen to someone who teaches concerning Jesus Christ in truth. So if you wish to hopefully strengthen a believer, and again I use the word hopefully, because not everyone will be, but hopefully strengthen a believer who is shaken mentally, emotionally, share with them the marvelous personal benefits of knowing Jesus Christ as their friend. Again, hopefully, for not all will believe what the scriptures teach about Jesus Christ, and they prefer to have their heaven, weakened souls wallow in their self-pity. We saw in the study of Isaiah 53, your attitude toward Jesus Christ was a great bearing on your attitude about yourself. lot of people have mental, emotional problems thinking about themselves. What they make, what they don't make. What they look like, what they don't look like. All these kinds of things. And if you think about Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him, all the 34 things you are in Him, this is strength. This is peace. You're not all concerned about yourself. No mental problems. No emotional problems about all of these things. You're just pleased in the Lord that you're in the Lord. It's just amazing what this peace does. And people, I say it spiritually and experientially. In high school, I was the shortest one. I had a lot of pimples. I didn't care about them. I went on to get president of my class, all these kind of things in school. There was a peace. There was a peace at home, and there was a peace in my soul with the Lord. Didn't worry about things. Did not worry. Maybe I should have worried a little bit more about my grades, but I didn't. I did okay. I wasn't okay with that. But it's just amazing what knowing Him and knowing your relationship with Him does to your soul. Best to your mind, your body, your whole being. And then the third category of, and again, hopefully in regard to that, not all believers want to believe what the Scripture teaches about Jesus Christ. And then the third category of doctrine, Paul mentions here to strengthen, revelation of the mystery. What in the world is this? How does it strengthen and encourage a believer who is discouraged in life? This refers to many teachings, but let us note one, knowing and believing all you are in Christ. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God gives you some 34 things. And one of those is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so that you might learn all these things and realize who and what you are in Christ. That will remove stress, emotional and mental problems. Look at another writer in the New Testament. In regard to strengthening your soul, our minds, even our emotions. James 5:8. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. First, in the spiritual warfare of the church age, James beckons them to be patient. Patient. I'm sorry, but in America, a lot of people are under mental and emotional stress. They have no patience. Everything has to be done and done now. We're a microwave generation. We're a 30-minute sitcom. In 30 minutes, you have everything calm, problem resolved, everybody happy again. All in 30 minutes. That's the way life ought to be. I'm sorry. It ain't that way. It's not going to happen in 30 minutes. But we're a 30-minute sitcom society. So what does James say? Be patient. This is the Greek word that we've studied many times, makrothumia, and directs our attention to our problems and tests with others. Therefore, best translated, long-suffering or long-tempered, as opposed to being short-tempered with people. And is so used in describing spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Spiritual love is long-suffering or long-tempered. Now, this gets down to where it gets close to home. Let's face it. Others, believers, unbelievers, can be allowed to cause emotional and mental stress. And people, be warned. This includes your parents, your children, your husband, your wife, your friends, people at work, and yes, people in the church. They can cause a lot of stress. They're just not doing things the way you want them done. And they're not doing it now! Not only are they not doing it the way you want, they're not doing it now. And that just wears you out. That gives you mental and emotional stress. See? You need macrothumia. No, I need them to hurry up. No. No. You can't control the world, but you can control what goes on in your own soul. Do what?
Great word for hurry up.
For hurry up? I'll have to look at that. I was studying not hurry up.
Modern Greek is
All right. And what is it? And what more does it mean? Just hurry up. Well, I know what it means. I know it in Germany. In German, it's mach schnell. Mach schnell. I mean, do it now. Get it done. Say, Makrothymia. Makrothymia. Calm down. Makrothymia. Hey, don't you macro me. All right. So, these people are going to do it to us, people. They're going to aggravate you. And this causes murder. This causes divorce. Causes a lot of problems in people's soul. The Word of God tells you it's free. The solution. The solution. Peace from the Holy Spirit. Being long-suffering, long-tempered, is not a passive attitude. It's a strong offensive movement. You are being strengthened. Christ has given us something to actually prevent this mental and emotional stress, as well as to strengthen us. The best way is to not give in to it is to stop it. Cut it off before it starts. How do you do that? Makrothymia. The long suffering of spiritual love blocks that stress. You too be long suffering in regard to others. Strengthen your hearts. This is our word. And we have noted how you strengthen your heart by pertinent doctrine, sound teaching of the Word of God, beginning with the gospel for the unbeliever, and sometimes even a believer needs to be reminded. Teaching about Jesus Christ, just learning about Christ. Gives peace to the soul, people. Just teaching your children about Jesus Christ. About Him, the God-man, the Savior, the friend. The one who's going to come again. All these wonderful things about Jesus Christ. And then, of course, about the teachings of who you are in Christ. The mystery teachings of the church age. Will strengthen your soul in tests and challenges of life. And then I like the way James puts it. For the coming of the Lord is near. This again refers to the rapture. The coming of the Lord to gather up us to Him. That's peace. That's peaceful. That's joy. To be gathered up with the Lord and Himself. And therefore, people, is why we study prophecy. To strengthen our souls in life's turmoils. Give us that peace that strengthens us. Understanding eschatology. Understanding where all of this is going. Understanding who's going to win. All these kinds of things. Understanding these things is great joy to the soul. A comfort to the soul. See? So this is beautiful as far as strengthening our soul. Here's our hope. Our inner peace. Our rest from the pressures of this life. Meeting the Lord in the air. Going to meet the Lord in the air, either by death or by rapture. I'm going to meet Him in the air. And you will not get this in government-sponsored programs to help the emotionally and mentally unhealthy. You will not hear this from human psychologists. But here is the peace of the soul. Here is the source of inner strength. And it's free! Will not cost $10 billion. Be strong and of good courage. You will soon be with the Lord. That's just wonderful. James 5:9 continues. Do not complain. Well, there goes half my conversations. If I can't complain, I got to complain to the Lord. I got to complain to IRS. I got to complain to my boss. I got to complain to my husband, my wife, my children, my parents. If you tell me I can't complain, I can't talk. That's going to be it. See? Do not complain, brethren. Against one another, against other believers, against your husband, against your wife, against your parent, against your children, against your friends, or against people in the church. The word not complain is an interesting word. It means to be squeezed by circumstances. That's what it means. It means to be squeezed by circumstances. This is not talking about a loving squeeze. No, no. This is talking about where they are irritating you when they do or don't do or say or don't say things that will cause you to be under pressure in your soul. The way you want things to be, they just won't do them. Is it asking that much that y'all pick up your shoes, you pick up your towels, you pick up your clothes, you make your bed before you go to school? Is that asking too much? See? Yeah? Now I'm 13. Don't bug me with that stuff. I'm busy. See? Don't do it. Stress. What's the solution? And it's not beating them. The solution is inside of you. You have the solution inside you. Macrothumia, this inner peace. This word means to groan. I love this now. Word, not complain. It means to groan. Have you ever just groaned because of someone else? Maybe someone, that's groaning. Okay? That's groaning. Well, you need inner strength, inner peace. People, you can't control the world. You can't control is an illusion. You can't control others. You can control what goes on in your own soul, though. You can control whether or not you have inner peace, inner strength, with macrothumia, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether you're concentrating on the Lord or on the way you want things in the world. This is free. It's of the Lord. So, what is one good reason for not complaining or groaning against one another? So that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Jesus Christ is coming back. And if you judge, you be careful. You're going to be judged to the same standard. The rapture is very close. Think about this. The less we judge one another, the less stress and pressure we have in our own lives. You've taken off of your shoulder having to straighten everyone out. That's a big boulder for some of us. Just take that boulder off. Quit judging. Quit slandering. Just let it go. Let the Lord handle it. He's got big shoulders. They go from sky to sky. East to west. He can handle it. We can't. Let him go. Think about it. A child who has all the school pressure, peer pressure problems at home in the world, can go to church just two or three times a week, calm down, and know that there's a solution. It's free. This is God's solution. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 and 4:5, 3b, and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. That's the strengthening. Strengthening of Christ. 2 Peter 1:12. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. What things? Doctrine and all the categories Peter has just been teaching. Now, you ever get tired of repetition? Well, you may not need it on that particular point of repetition of teaching, but someone else does. Someone else does. Another member of this assembly. And then there will be a repetition that you need. And they're going to have to say, who needs that here? Well, we don't get to raise our hand. Nobody gets to know that it's me that needs it. It's just I know I need that repetition. Even though you already know them, and you do, and you do. Every time you come to class, the whole thing is going to be something brand new, a new breakthrough. It's going to be the truth that you and I know and understand to strengthen us. And now for our word, and have established or strengthened, have been strengthened in truth, which is present with you or actually in you. What strengthens? Truth of the Word of God. Prophecy. The lives of Jesus Christ. Teaching on who you are in Christ. These kinds of things we go over and over. These things strengthen your soul, your mind, your heart. And again, will not be strengthened in psychoheresy of this world. It comes from the Word of God. See? That's what we're dealing with. Psychoheresy is the integration of psychology and the Bible. What do you get? Psychoheresy. It's heresy. heretical teaching. Just stay with the Word of God. It'll give you unbelievable peace. Paul uses this word throughout 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 3:2, which we've already studied. And we will send Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker, in the gospel of Christ. Let me just tell you, there's just something about Ben doing it with someone. Whatever your ministry is, whatever your mission is, there's just a peace in having someone else with you in that ministry. And here is young Timothy. And one Sunday, we're going to have the whole Sunday morning devoted to giving 3 certificates to 3 young people in this assembly who've taken the course. It was only supposed to take a couple of years, but we stretched it out to a few more years than that. And this little assembly is unbelievably blessed. We have 4 men that I can tell you right now are ready to cover and fill any pulpit in America. Any pulpit. But their understanding of the Word of God that they need is a little experience in teaching, and you're the ones that will give them the grace to do that. Okay. We sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker, in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen, there's our word, and encourage you as to your faith. Here is another area that always needs strengthened. Our faith. Faith is the battle. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. What's the good fight? The fight of faith. It's a battle to walk by faith. We're to live by faith, walk by faith. This is a daily battle. Not to learn doctrine, not to be moral, but to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker, in the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. People, we need to do this husband to wife, wife to husband, parent to child, child to parent, friends, people in life. Strengthen their faith. Don't judge them. Strengthen their faith. Then in 1 Thessalonians 3:13, he uses it again. So that he, the Lord, by means of the Spirit of the Lord, whom he sent to us, may establish your hearts. This is our word. Strengthen your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. People, yeah, that's a wonderful doctrine that we've been spending years on now in Daniel and Matthew 24 and 25, now 1 and 2 Thessalonians. There's just a peace about it. Doesn't matter who's elected president. It matters for America now. It matters in these areas, but in the long run, I'm gonna be with the Lord. I'm gonna be with him. He's in control. There's a peace about that. Okay. All right, talk about peace and being strengthened. This is related to our sins in our lives. Sins are not to pull us down, but we keep moving, keep advancing by faith, again with the hope and confidence of the second advent of Jesus Christ. Don't let your sins bother you, and don't let it others who try to bother you because of your sins. Not going to trouble you. You keep living by faith. Also, he mentions it in 2 Thessalonians 2:17. Comfort and strengthen your hearts. Here it's your hearts. Before it was according to your faith, now your hearts. In every good work and word, we are strengthening when we walk and perform and talk by the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. All right, people, we're family. We're together in the battle of the angelic conflict. And we're to strengthen and encourage one another throughout every day in our lives. Acts 14:21. And they have preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, believers in Jesus Christ. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Why did they return? Strengthening the souls of the disciples, of the believers, encouraging them to continue in the faith, continue to walk in faith in the Holy Spirit, saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. That's it. Jesus Christ in Matthew 16 closed it out before he went into the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 17 and John 17 with, you will have tribulation in this world. You may have my joy. Whether you have my joy or not, you're going to have tribulation. You may have my joy. What's going to be dependent on? Walking by faith in the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. I got to share this with you. 18-year-old granddaughter, and I'll ask her anything. Now she's almost, she'll say, Holy Spirit, before I even finish the question. And because she just knows it's going to have something to do with the Holy Spirit. And they had a word at their church, and each of the young people had to pick a word. My grandson picked the word knowledge, which is great. And I said, what's your word? And she says, joy. Okay. Where does joy come from? The Holy Spirit. And I said, how do you know that? Because I just know that's the answer. And so we talked about Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. You ever heard of the fruit of the Spirit? Yeah. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. She looked at me, oh, it's joy. I said, yeah. Now, how do you tap into the Holy Spirit? By faith, I know that. And right now, it's just, but I think one day it's going to settle in, and she's going to say, wow, I now understand it. I pray that anyway. And I ask you to join me in that prayer. Okay, strengthening the souls. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, he does it again. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. You will notice the margin of the NASB says, are evil. So, in the NASB, in the text, it says, and protect you from the evil one. In the margin, the NASB says, from evil. All right, what's going on? The issue is not determined by the Greek. You know, that was the most, it's one of the most discouraging things that I have in me in my life. I was told over and over and over, the solution is in the original languages. The solution is in the Greek. The solution is in the Hebrew. And boy, I just knew if I went and I got Greek and Hebrew down, I'd have no problems in life as far as the Word of God. People, it just compounds the problem. It doesn't solve too many. It compounds. But there's a lot of richness in it. But here's what is interesting. The Greek word translated evil or evil one, it may be, this word may be seen as a neuter gender, which would be translated all that is evil. Or the same word may be taken as a masculine gender and therefore be translated the evil one. Both all that is evil or the evil one are involved in this word. Since Satan is the producer and instigator of all that is evil, evil things proceed from the evil one. Now, being protected from the evil one, Satan, is so important to our Lord. In the Lord's Prayer, which was prayed just hours before his crucifixion, Christ prayed that we might be kept from the evil one. People, I don't generally encourage this, but if you've not listened to John 17, I encourage you to do so on the internet. We had an unbelievably great time in John 17 and learned so much. But I want to read to you, in his prayer to God the Father, Jesus Christ said in verse 13, but now I, Jesus Christ, your Son, come to you, Heavenly Father, I come by prayer, and these things, all the teachings of Jesus during his physical life here on earth, I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. In Satan's world, every believer can have inner joy made complete in their souls. You can live in Satan's world and walk with inner peace. And that will irritate Satan, and it'll probably irritate some of your friends. Now you have that peace and that joy. Verse 14 of John 17 in the Lord's Prayer. I have given them your word. Everything that Jesus Christ spoke were the words and messages of God the Father by means of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, to remind you how Scripture links, this goes back with the teaching of Jesus Christ. Remember the three categories of doctrine that will give strength? The gospel, teachings about Jesus Christ and of Christ, and then the mysteries. Here's one of the things, the words that he taught them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. The world hates believers, especially those who walk and stand on the teaching of Jesus Christ, which were the teachings of God the Father. Some will be attracted by your joy to the Lord, but most will just hate you. But always there will be some who will be attracted by your joy and your peace, that you're not all heavy laden. Because they are not, why will they hate you? They're not of this world. Get it? We are the troublemakers. We are the aliens in the world. We're the ones who believe in a moral standard. We're the ones who believe in freedom. We're the ones who believe individual responsibility. We're the one who believes these moral issues. We're the enemy. The world doesn't believe those things. And so here we are daring to stand on these things. Even as I am not of the world, Jesus Christ came from above, and we are born heavenly citizenship, Philippians 3:20. Jesus Christ is fully conscious of his origin. Are you? Are you fully conscious of your origin by your second birth? Born again, born from above. By our first birth, we are earthly, of the earth. By our second birth, we're heavenly, born from above. That gives you peace, strength. By our second birth, we are a new creation. The world follows its own flesh. The world follows its own father, the devil. The world resents, hates those who do not live and think as they are. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. We just teach our young people not to live according to this world, their looks, their beauty, their with all these things, and live about who they are in Christ. People would have no problem, very little problem dealing with the mental and emotional disorders going on in the world. And when you do not think their way, they hate you. If we follow the course of the world, conform to its policies, its norms and standards, its goals, its thinking, the world would not hate us. But the way of the world are not the ways of God, nor the ways of those who follow God. Therefore, as those the world hates God, hates Jesus Christ, it hates those who are in Christ, those who follow Christ. That means you, I hope. And the further the world moves from God, from the cross, from the Word of God, their hatred will increase. This is American history. As we move further and further away as a nation from the cross, from the Bible, which is where we stood in the first founding of our founding fathers, we move to where there's great hate toward Christians, great hatred toward the Bible, resentment of Christmas, resentment of Easter, resentment of these things, resentment of anyone who believes in these things. Why? They moved away from him. Their hatred of the world will increase and will be demonstrated. You have not suffered until you are hated because your beliefs from the Word of God. When you have beliefs in the Word of God, you're going to be hated. Chalk it up. It's going to happen. Don't become dismayed or sorrowful. You can get out of that. If the world hating you causes you mental, emotional, then just forget it. Forget what the Bible says. Agree with the world. Forget it. And I guarantee you, you will not be happy there either. But if you don't want the world hating you, just quit believing in the Word of God. Believe the way the world does. Now the world hates us. There will be suffering and tribulation in the world. John 16:33. So what is Jesus Christ's attitude toward us? John 17:15. Take a look. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. People, this is powerful. How many times, and I know I have you prayed, take me out of here. Get me out of here, Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Send the rapture today. That's our solution. It's not the Lord's solution. I don't pray that you take them out of here, Father. Well, I wish you would. No, got something better for you. Something better for you. This is not the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ. Even though they are not of this world, even though the world hates them, I do not ask thee to take them out of the world by death or rapture, or just remove them. I do not ask, but I do ask this. Do you ever relay to God in your prayers what you do not ask Him? Think about it. Do you tell God, I'm not asking this. I'm not asking that. I'm not asking for a gold mine here, Father, for Christmas. Just a nice diamond ring. See? But getting to the serious side, you ever tell God what you not asking Him? Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, three times in this prayer in John 17, specifically states that He does not ask for something from the Father. Now, sometimes it will do us good in our prayer life to actually state, well, we're not asking for it. This will reveal clarity of thinking in our part in our prayer. I'm not asking this about my children, my husband, my wife, my parents. I'm not asking that. This is what I'm asking, Father. And then I make your request be made known to Him. All right, look what He says. But I do ask that you keep them from the evil one. Keep them out from the evil one. What does this mean? When Jesus Christ prays to God the Father to keep them, believers, out from the evil one, what is he asking? All right, let's note some things. One, that they be protected from the power and snares of the evil one, Satan himself. Protected from the snares and power, the schemes. Two, keep them from being possessed by Satan. As he was Judas. No believer can be demon possessed. A believer can be under demonic influence, under the influence of the doctrine of demons, but not demon possessed. Here Christ prays that they may be protected from demonic influence, which is different from praying that they be protected from demonic attacks. And we will assume that every one of them come under demonic attack. Praying to be protected from this evil one. Three, keep them from destruction, death, until their course has run its course. Life has run its course. Four, very important, the very fact that Jesus Christ prays this of God the Father shows you we cannot keep ourselves from the evil one. You can't keep yourself from the evil one. We must be aware of this fact. Stand guard and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, and let Him protect us. That's what we can do. And then five, again we learn from our Lord how we ought to pray. Not to be taken out of the world with all its sins, tribulations, but to be protected, and those believers we love be protected, and we be strengthened by the Word of God. Now the answers. What does this mean? This answer, what does it mean? Question, how? How is God going to keep us from the evil one? First, by the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit. In fact, God the Father will answer nearly every one of these prayers by Jesus Christ for believers by sending the Holy Spirit. The restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit protects from the evil one. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. The restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit protects the believer from certain sins related to his mission. Genesis chapter 20, verse 6. Second, by His Word. First of all, by His Holy Spirit. Second, by His Word. The more doctrine you know, the more you are protected from the world, from evil, from the evil one. The more your soul is strengthened and His peace in your soul. Third, one we have not talked about very much, divine providence. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Divine providence is God's supernatural protection in the life of the believer. We've all heard of divine providence in our national constitution. It's all through it. And in believers' lives. If I had not had that flat, I would have been in that wreck. We just see the providence of God. We've seen it in study World War II. One of my favorite stories in the War for Our Independence was a British soldier had George Washington right in his sight. Right in his sight. Right there. And he said, I couldn't pull the trigger. It's divine providence. There's so many things that are divine providence. Now, Jude chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, and now, and forever. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I entrusted to him until that blessed day. Thank you, Father, for the faithfulness of your Son. Whatever we do, we should do as unto the Lord. And I'd like you to stand and open your hymnals. And Brian, if you'll come up and lead, I'd like you to open your hymnals in closing. This is our closing prayer, 448. This is your closing prayer. After we sing, you're dismissed. By the way, next Sunday is Communion Sunday. So bring some, a little snack if you want to enjoy something to eat with us.